Good morning. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church on this glorious day. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Amen. Amen. I am so glad to be with you and share this worship experience with you in God's house. It is a beautiful day. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. One, I had hoped to get into the bulletin, but it didn't make it in there. 12:15 today, after this service, we're having a meeting for those of you interested in hearing about liturgists. We may have liturgists, and if you're interested in that, I'd like you to come this afternoon at 12:15. Or if you're interested in being a lay servant, we'll be happy to have you come and talk with us at about 12:15 right after this service. And I wanted to just give you a quick word of appreciation on my part. Mr. Ron Coleman has been up in front of you for the past couple of weeks to ask you to dig a little deep because of a financial shortfall, and I just want to thank you that we've come a good ways to closing the gap. We've come a very good ways to closing that gap, and I know it's because of all of you, and so I want you to know how much I appreciate you for that. Thank you very much. Are there other announcements that should be lifted up before God this morning and the congregation before we begin our worship? Then let's turn to our opening words in prayer, which is an insert in your bulletin. And you will notice that the bulletin is on one sheet of paper with an insert in it, and the 11 o'clock service is on the right-hand side on the inside of that bulletin for 11 o'clock. But look at the insert now and respond in the areas indicated by the italic words. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
We proclaim here and now the marvelous works of our God.
Let our hearts leap for joy, O people of God.
We proclaim here and now the marvelous faithfulness of our God.
God's ways are not our ways. God's works are too wonderful to behold.
We proclaim here and now the marvelous works of our God.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this day, seeking your healing and restoring love. Give us courage to reach out to you in the good and easy times, as well in the times of strain and stress. Open our hearts to receive your message of peace and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let me invite the children to come forward for our moments together. How's everybody doing today? I have to ask you something. We're going to start school pretty soon. I know y'all are just dying to go back to school. But what I want to ask you about is something that might have happened to you over the summertime, or maybe not over the summertime, but maybe just sometime recently, where you figured out how to do something that you couldn't do before. Have you learned how to ride a bike this summer, maybe? Did you learn how to ride a bike? What did you learn to do? You learned. Oh, you're getting better at your kicks. She learned how to swim. And you're learning gymnastics. All right. Anybody else learn something this summer that they couldn't do before? You can swim to the ladder? At the pool?
In the ledge.
Okay, so you got some swimming in too this summer. Anybody else learn how to tie a shoe or do something they couldn't do before? Yeah.
I could never tie a shoe.
You could never tie a shoe? No, I bet you could, actually. I bet you could. One of these days, you will tie a shoe. Take my word for it. You will do that. Yes, all of you will learn how to do that. Of course, you don't have ties too much anymore. You just have Velcro. You don't have to. Ties are becoming obsolete, you know. Shoelaces are becoming obsolete, yeah. Well, I wanted to talk with you about trying new things and how sometimes it's not easy to try new things. We get scared. We're afraid we might make a mistake, or when we're learning how to ride a bike, we're afraid we might fall, or if we're learning how to swim, we're afraid we might sink. Yeah, but we hear a story today about Peter, who was in a boat where it was quite windy and stormy. Jesus was there on the water, and and Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus, and all of a sudden he got scared, so he started to sink. But he took Jesus' hand, and he no longer was sinking. And that's what I want to tell you, boys and girls. See, this is a boat. We have a little boat here that says faith and trust. If you can read that, you can see it says faith and trust. Yep. And we are like that boat. We have to have faith in God that we're not alone, that we can try new things like getting out of the boat. We can try new things in life and not be scared because we have Jesus to help us, and we're never alone. So next time you're going to try something new, remember that you can do it because you have somebody on your side for you. Let's bow our heads and pray, and then I'll give you each one piece of candy. All right? Let's bow our heads. We thank you, O God, for these children and pray your blessing upon them that they may grow in your grace and truth. And we ask, O God, that you would teach them that they may try new things and know that you are always with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. One piece. You have to make a decision.
If you'd stand and turn to your hymnals to page 380, we'll sing There's Within My Heart a Melody.
Number 888, affirmation from 1 Corinthians and Colossians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day. He appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Invite the ushers to please come forward now as we come to offer God our gifts in the form of tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come to you in prayer to thank you for your goodness. Your goodness is way more than we deserve. But we pray, dear God, that we will in every way strive to be your people in this time and in this place that you have called us to in this community. And let this that we give you to you today be blessed for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Of Malachi, there is a picture of God as a refiner bending over a cauldron of precious metals. And as the heat of the furnace brings the impurities to the surface, God, the refiner, removes the dross, purifying the metal until he can see his own image reflected in it. It's a picture of how God cleanses and purifies you and me. I think at first we probably resist the refiner's fire. Perhaps we come to accept it. This is not my attainment, but my aspiration that I might come to crave the cleansing, purifying, and refining work of God in my life and in yours. Through its place will not remain the same. Some as bronze and some as silver, some as gold, but with great skill all are hammered by their suffering on the
lights can be dimmed or not, but I want you to imagine that they are being dimmed. And one way you can do that is to close your eyes. Close your eyes and let your mind and heart be open to the presence of God. Quiet all the thoughts and voices that are in your head. And quietly listen that God may speak to you. Let your heart speak to God. And as you feel called or led, share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that aches in your heart today and you would like to share with Almighty God before the throne of God.
Lloyd and Marlene Stone.
Bryce Myers. Hear our prayers, O God, today. O Creator of life, you desire for us to have life abundantly. But a full life sometimes includes times of struggle and doubts. But you guide us through the troubled times. And with care and confidence, we know you are present with us. And will see us through to the other side. Help us this morning to bear one another's burdens and to share one another's celebrations. Remind us always to pray, to care, and to reach out to the other so that we might travel through these times of doubt and challenge with hope leading us forward. In the name of Christ, the light of the world that guides us, and who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 509, we'll sing Jesus, Savior, Pilot, Me.
Charge and bond.
hear the good news in the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when a disciple saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I had a classmate in seminary who defined faith as stepping out of airplanes knowing that God will catch you. And I always would say, "You first." But I never did. And as far as I know, he has not volunteered to step out of any airplanes. And there are some things that disturb me about his kind of theology. Because I feel like it was designed to make us feel bad about ourselves and for our lack of faith. And I want to say to him and to others that anything that makes us feel bad about being human is not good theology. God knows who we are. And God knows that we are sometimes afraid. God made us, and I don't believe that God wants us to risk our lives and our welfare pointlessly. That's not the message of the scripture that we have today. But he was onto something in the sense that trust and faith plays a part of every relationship we ever have, including the divine-human relationship, maybe especially. And I want you to try and remember back when your children were young, and maybe you have grandchildren that this applies to. Children who feel secure sometimes act, there's always a safety net out there. And I'll give you an example. When my nephews were small, they're both grown men now with children of their own, but when they were toddlers, I can remember taking them to a playground, and they would went through this stage where they would step off the monkey bars or off the slide or swings and into thin air because they trusted that there was an adult who would catch them. They trusted that there was always someone there and that they had nothing to be afraid of. They felt invincible. Such was their trust in all the adults around them. Do you remember a time when you had a feeling of trust like that, that was so powerful for you? Do you remember a sense of confidence and assurance that nothing could go wrong, that everything was going to be all right? You may not remember some of those feelings of invincibility against whatever the world brought you, but those feelings are very important in a growing child. Because developmental psychologists tell us that we have to experience trust before we ourselves can be trustworthy. And we need trust in our lives to withstand the inevitable storms and betrayals that follow in everybody's lives. But such was Peter's trust in his Lord and Savior. What he demonstrated by stepping outside of the boat to walk to Jesus is a sense of trust so complete, so profound, that he was able to lay aside any fear and anxiety in a situation of great risk. It is possible to push through the fear to accomplish things that we might not otherwise. And that's kind of what I was hoping to tell the children this morning. If you have a fear of something, sometimes you can push through it and do that thing, which is new. It's possible to accomplish these things in spite of our fear. But I can say that the purpose of our trust, pretty positively I can say, it's not to jump out of airplanes. That's not the kind of thing that I think we need trust for. Where we need courage is to do the loving thing when the world tells us to hate. It takes real courage to love those who persecute you. Hate is a cop-out and is never the Christian way out. So for a time, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he pushed through his fear and he began walking toward Jesus. But then his humanness got the best of him, and it gets us too. We all experience fear and doubt. It's human to be afraid, and it's human to sometimes give in to that fear. But I don't think fear shows a lack of faith. In fact, I think we need that fear. The reason I know that, the reason I can say with 100% certainty that we need fear, is that without it, we would never cry out to Jesus, "Save me. Save me, Lord Jesus." To be afraid and to doubt in the face of danger is human. And if God's demand of us is to have no fear and no doubt, then we are asked to do a task that's far more impossible than Peter stepping out of the boat into the water. We need our fear not just to keep us secure and safe, but we need our fear in order to need God. But what we are asked to do is to stretch our faith a little bit into new areas, into new territories, to push ourselves perhaps beyond our comfort zones, even in the midst of troubled water. Several years ago now, at this ecumenical gathering, the pastor of Riverside Church in New York was addressing a group of pastors about the crisis of a lack of faith in the world today. And he said, "The reason that we seem to lack faith in our time is that we are not doing anything that requires it. We're not taking risks. We're not stretching ourselves. We're not stepping out in faith. The key to fullness of life in Christ is to follow Peter's example and be willing to step out of the comfort and security of the boat and head into the troubled waters of the world to proclaim the love, mercy, and justice of God that we find in Christ Jesus. Being a disciple is risky that way. It's not all easy, smooth sailing, like the picture I showed the children. It requires getting out of the boat. It requires taking a leap of faith. And that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. And God assures us that if we get out of the boat, we can count on the accompaniment of our Lord and Savior. The troubled waters will no longer trouble us because we have Christ. I want you to imagine again. This is something that I obviously like to do with you all a little bit. And sometimes it's helpful to close your eyes if you're trying to imagine and just listen to my voice. That you're on that boat, doing what you do, sailing, fishing. But suddenly you're steering your boat against the wind and the waves. But you don't have time to stop and wonder about it. You get down to work. But you're fighting it, and all appears to be lost. When a figure approaches that looks familiar, and Jesus invites you to step out of the boat. And it's such a relief to have someone take over the helm, only to realize in the next second what the heck has happened, but you're already outside the boat already. And that's when that sinking feeling threatens to overwhelm. The task feels impossible, but Jesus reaches out his hand to catch us, and we do not sink. We have the love of family and friends, the sustenance of spiritual practice, the bonds of community, and moments of just unexplainable peace in the midst of the struggle around us. And we find that sense of inner calm. God does not demand that we step out of airplanes. Nor are we likely to have trust as pure as a child's. But like Peter, we can step forward even though the ground beneath us is not more substantial than water. Because what matters is that we are walking toward Jesus, whose hand is held towards us, stretched out, inviting us, stretched out to grasp us, should we fall. Amen and amen.
Now, if you'd all stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Trading My Sorrows.
I'm trading my sin.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go.
Amen. Amen.